This is Hazel from Hazel 90 Games, and you're listening to the Training Dummies. With Rob.
You are like the best healer ever.
And Daryl.
Well done, healer.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to episode 216 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded on July 31st, 2018. My name is Rob, and we know about the tree. We know about Teldrassil.
Yes, we do.
We know all about it. You know what? Let's just get straight into it. We have a super awesome guest tonight, and if you are in Twitch, in our channel, or our guest channel tonight, you'll see that we're talking all about healing in Battle for Azeroth. So can we get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Automatic Jack?
Hey, it's me, guys.
Hey, dude. Dude, thanks so much for clearing the table, making some time for us. I know you've been a busy, busy man.
Hey, you bet. Happy to.
So it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Why don't you give us an update? Because you have you've gone through some changes. You've gone through Warcraft puberty, and you are a man now. So why don't you give us the update on how, what you're doing and what you've been up to lately?
Overall, I just graduated college in May and moved down to Texas, and I've been full time streaming for about 2 months now. In addition to casting the MDI tournament that was just at the end of June, the MDI LAN.
That is amazing, and I had an absolute blast watching that. That was I never knew that Warcraft PvE would be able to be turned to like a viable esport that I would absolutely love, and seeing you guys up there was a super, super cool experience to watch. So I'm really, really glad, and I hope that continues for a long time to come.
Definitely. It's cool to have that kind of response, being able to actually see how much teams have grown going from, you know, the first BFA, the first MDI in 2017 to this one today. Just the level of play stepped up, and the competition really was amazing to watch.
Yeah, Daryl, you got into a little bit of watching the MDI, right?
Yeah, I watched some of it, yeah, for sure. It was good. It's the level that they play at is it's amazing. It really is. I know I can't do stuff quite like they do. It's Mythic Dungeons scared me. Had some bad experiences at the start of the expansion, and I think I got my 15. The last week it was available to do that for the achievement. So yeah, it was
a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was fun to watch to see just how these top level players were managing to pull through these dungeons and get them completed. It was good stuff.
Well, I think we have a lot of ground to cover tonight. So what do you say? Want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we are doing, we are active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD. Also, if you like the show and want to support us, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligation, of course. We're just happy that you listen. And I think we wanted to discuss some of the things that we might have seen today in-game. And the cinematic. So this is a spoiler alert for probably like the next 10 minutes. If you haven't done that yet or seen the video yet, you might want to wait before listening to this. Before we do, Rob suggested we create a little bumper for this. So I'm going to play that first, and then we can talk about what has happened in game today. What else do I have to say? We
didn't start the fire. Burn it. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. Burn it!
Well, we know who started the fire.
Yes, we do.
Pretty sure. That was awesome. Jack, did you get to go in and... I know you've been playing a ton on beta. Did you get to go in and do the live stuff today?
Yeah. I mean, the second I woke up and pulled up Twitter, it was already spoiled, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got it and hopped onto it.
I see why they held off a while on... The Jaina animation short came out on Monday, and I think they held out on this one until after
Tuesday. Yeah, it actually plays in game too, so
yeah.
That was a weird thing to me, is I wasn't really expecting the cinematic, the Warbringer cinematic, to like double dip the cinematic in game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of was a little surprised when I did it in game and saw, oh, this is just the exact same thing I watched on YouTube. It was pretty pretty aggressive, man. What are you playing for Battle for Azeroth? Are you going to be Horde or Alliance?
Oh, definitely Horde.
Okay. Well, I thought so, but you know, we've known some cool people that have made poor choices. And
yeah.
So, what do you think? Is she a Garrosh 2.0?
I don't think that they'd ever go down that route, but it was very weird. It was very weird watching it because we had a launch test event on beta or whatever that they got everybody to do all the quests and, you know, mm-hmm. reading all the quest text and looking over everything. They're like, oh, okay, this is, you know, a very in-depth plan. It makes sense. And then it's burn it. It's like, oh, okay. Like, almost as if her, literally showing her mind getting changed by someone just being snotty to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed a bit much. I know that social media seems pretty divided, and tensions are running high. I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. I think Sylvanas is being crazy aggressive, and we only have the very. It's kind of like reading the first chapter of a story. You can't really like crap over it. You know, the whole it's meant to hook you, right? The whole purpose. Christy Golden did her job. This whole, you know, everybody, the team's doing their job. Where everyone's pissed, everyone's fired up, and we're ready to go into the expansion. So, I don't know. I don't quite see why people are like losing their mind over it. But yeah, I liked it. Daryl, what'd you think?
First thing I thought was Garrosh 2.0. I really did, and it's, you know, you've got Teldrassil taking that down unprovoked, much like Garrosh took down Theramore. Garrosh was always talking about, you know, the orcs. He didn't really care much about the other races in the Horde. You know, Sylvanas, you get the clear vibe that she only cares about the Forsaken and not the other races in the Horde. So it's, you know, I hope they give her a redemption arc or something. But, you know, just the way it's feeling right now, it's very Garrosh 2.0 is the immediate feeling that I got. And I hope that changes, but that's where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. Well, let's get into the healing talk. Jack, let's talk about the fundamentals or philosophy of healing in Battle for Azeroth. Has that changed at all? It almost seems like, you know, expansion by expansion things evolve and change a little bit. Where do you think they're going with BFA?
I think a lot of where BFA is headed is kind of like on a long-term project that I think the devs at least kind of seem to be at least have reflected that they're going towards, where they want to continue to keep dialing down the power creep that healers are going into. And they want to make sure mm-hmm. that, you know, like every beginning of expansion, it's going to just take very long times to be able to top off health pools. But they mm-hmm. also are in a much more well-defined, I think, world of Mythic Plus, raids. What are they looking like? What are we having to deal with here? And then they're trying to make mm-hmm. sure that they're fitting the healers into that role. So by healing in raids, for example, feels really good. It takes time to top people off. You know, you have to be able to work with the rest of your team. Just pushing one raid cooldown isn't enough to, you know, just take massive damage. Like there's the encounter mother where you have to basically walk through different little doorways, or, well, pretty massive doorways that just, the more people that go at once, the more damage goes out into the raid. And you can't just straight raid cooldown through it, right? It takes time. Mm-hmm. You have to start spacing it out. You have to wait for the rest of the group to get topped off. But weird thing about it is adjusting that not only to the raiding environment, which I think they did really well, but also mm-hmm. adjusting it to the healing environment of Mythic Plus, which I think is still being iterated upon heavily. Because we just finished up the Grievous Week for Mythic Plus, because right mm-hmm. now beta and live follow the same Mythic Plus schedule. And Grievous is just exceedingly difficult to deal with on beta right now. It takes much longer to top players off. They're consistently getting to, you know, 4 or 5 stacks, and because Grievous doesn't drop out of combat, everyone busts out, you know, the Fish Feast to be able to top themselves off. There's a lot that they have to deal with, and I think there's a lot more that they can be adjusting for the Mythic Plus environment to make it ready for BFA. But it's also just a sign of, you know, where they want to make as many adjustments as possible and continue to make healing more active, I guess. Instead mm-hmm. of just having healers be that 3.5 DPS that they kind of were in a lot of competitive Mythic Plus,
yeah,
as
yeah.
you saw in the
yeah.
NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Does each class in Battle for Azeroth still have kind of its own style of healing? Like, druids have kind of been like the HOTS healers, and dispriests were shields, and, you know, paladins, I think at one point were like, you know, they're really good tank healers. Is it still kind of that everyone's got their own style?
Yeah, they really haven't tried to reinvent the wheel with most of the healers. Mm-hmm. I know that they've kind of brought Mistweaver back to leave them more kind of... I think it's been more like the Hellfire Citadel, or more the old school kind of Mistweaver that a lot of people liked a lot, trying to mix in fist weaving again, at least to some extent. Druid overall hasn't gotten many like groundbreaking changes. Shaman got a couple adjustments. But overall, I think a lot of the healers overall just worked on getting themselves more balanced in terms of the windows. Like Priest, for example, they removed some crazy strong passives that were introduced in Legion. And they replaced them with, you know, other passive abilities that were also competitive with, like, legacy abilities. Like, legacy abilities like Halo or Divine Star, for example, for Holy Priest especially, but even for Discipline as well, are in a much more competitive spot than they've been in a long time. Because they're looking at, you know, the testing, the tuning, and adjusting those accordingly to make sure that you're actually having, like, a choice when you want to use them. But it's weird for people who played when, like, Halo Divine Star first came out, because those were massively powerful abilities, and now they're pretty good, but it's not a giant step up from, you know, the position that they were in Legion. They just kind of made sure that all the talents were a little bit more balanced.
Mm-hmm. I know that for a long time, you know, there's always kind of a flavor of the month thing that goes on. Do you think that certain specs are going to be mandatory for progression? Like, will there be an advantage to having a, you know, a paladin or a druid or whatever on your team?
Oh, without a doubt.
For rating and for Mythic Plus, then, huh? Is there going to be like a preferred healer for M Plus?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's always going to be those metas that are going to form, no matter how close everything is together. For raids, I mean, I don't think it's more of a flavor of month as it is more of a flavor of multi expansions tied together. Like, you know, Paladin to get some adjustments with like Aura of Sacrifice being changed up, so it's not this massive bounce back cooldown. You know, so. It'll actually take some planning. It might not even be the best option in a grand majority of cases, but it could have some niche value on like first fights, if you know that you're not going to be killed by it. But still having like the greater duration added to Aura Mastery, so they can have a longer devotion aura, greater damage reduction to the group. Beacons are still going to be really powerful, even though they got nerfed a little bit. I think they got nerfed a little bit. Anyway, so even though Paladin definitely doesn't feel as like crazy strong as it was as it was at the end of Legion, you know, it's still going to be powerful. You're still going to bring it. Shamans overall still in a good spot with the healing that they do, and utility specifically like Spirit Link or Aura Mastery are such utility, or even Beacons are specialized form of utilities that are not easily replaced by anybody else, or it puts other healers in less desirable positions to do the same job.
So I guess piggybacking on that a little bit, you know, so I feel like there's always been, you know, we've watched for Mythic Plus, like Blood DK tanks were the tank. Do you feel like it's balanced well enough that for a like a normal team or a more casual team that it's, you're going to be able to be successful even if you don't bring the, you know, the cool kids?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think showing the, you know, quarter of the 1% or something like that, you know, with MDI, where you're seeing the absolute best teams in the world, you're going to see, you know, very strict meta going out, no matter what it is, no matter if it's prop paladins or blood decays or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the problem is more just the trickle down, where everyone assumes that's going to be the only way to do it, or, you know, oh, we want to get our tens done, we better bring this guy because he's a blood decay, and that's it. And that's the only basis of your reasoning, you know. And, you know, for the grand majority of people, it's going to matter a lot more on the player than the specific spec that they're going to be going after, whether it's Flavor of the Month or not. On beta right now, I've seen Prop Paladins, Blood DKs, Vengeance Demon Hunters, and Brewmaster Monks. And the biggest factor for all of those is just how well is somebody prepared for the dungeon? How well are they able to, you know the pull, know when to use their defensives, know when to kite, know if they even can kite because the threat changes, that they're not going to actually kill off you know, their DPS in the process, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of little things like that.
I know you were streaming a little bit of Mythic Plus on beta before we started here tonight. Do you, uh, I, do you feel like you've gotten pretty good experience with raiding and the Mythic Plus so far on beta?
Yeah, without a doubt. I've done most all of the raid testing so far on Heroic or either Mythic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've done Mythic Plus for ever since it came out, so it's been a month and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. Actually, it's probably closer to a month. But it's been great so far. I like the what they've really done with the dungeons to continue to make trash more difficult. I think a lot of things kind of got flipped on their head, where you know, we just got out of a Sanguine Grievous Fortified week, which in Legion was an amazing week to push keys.
Mm-hmm.
But in beta is an incredibly difficult week to push keys in beta, because it's just like the tight corridors where Sanguine can heal up all the mobs. A lot of the trash is a lot more difficult now to deal with.
Yeah.
So they really stepped up, I think, the challenge for a lot of people. But they also made things a little bit more accessible by putting like the big changes, like putting Tyrannical and Fortified on the 2-level affix instead of the 10. So, you know, people are not going to have as big of a jump up.
Gotcha.
So one of the biggest things that healers always seem to struggle with is mana regen. What is that looking like so far in the expansion? Is it cooldown dependent? Are there abilities for active can't talk tonight. Are there abilities for active mana regen?
Not so much. And it really has followed similar to Legion, where, you know, I think it was start of WoD where they wanted to like try out this active mana regen style, and then they scrapped later on. So it's more or less the same, where there isn't any kind of active mana regeneration, but Holy Priest, for example, got old school Hymn of Hope back, basically, where they're able to have that 5-6 minute cooldown to be able to regen mana for the entire group based off missing mana. So it's been a pretty nice tool to be able to add. It's probably going to be something that you'll look to maybe on long fights, but I don't see it as being something that's going to be, oh my gosh, we need to bring the Holy Priest to have the extra mana, you know, in most cases.
Oh, okay.
You know, it'll be a nice flavor to add to it, but I don't think it's going to be so insane that you just have to bring one.
So basically, you're going to drink at least once in a raid fight, then, huh?
Yeah, they still have added enough like filler spells or, you know, sufficient mana regeneration. I mean, there's only one mana regen trinket that's available right now in beta, and it's from a dungeon. Mm-hmm. It's pretty poor overall, so they can kind of continue that trend of being stingy with mana regen trinkets and just pushing people to slow down with a lot of their healing.
Okay, gotcha.
How do you feel about that? Because I know a lot of, you know, especially in the world of MDI and whatnot, it's not about slowing down. It's about cheating and cutting corners and how quickly can you get around things. So do you feel like that's okay to slow down, or where does that land with you?
I think it's pretty healthy for a raiding environment. I'm not too worried about Mythic Plus. And that's mainly just because you can always drink in between pulls. We'll see how quickly you'll be able to, as at the end of Legion, for example, they have the Sugar Crusted Fish Feast, which regen mana faster than anything. You're quickly topping off not only your mana bar, but your health bar. We'll see if they allow such things in the future, or they just nerf them pretty severely when the expansion actually comes out. I'm assuming the latter. But I think the big challenge for healing in M+ right now is making it so that healers are going to be consistently challenged and balancing out the affixes accordingly, so that you're not stuck in like Grievous Purgatory, where you can only do just enough healing to keep them from dying, but you can't do enough healing to clear the Grievous decks.
Yeah, that would just be frustrating. I think that would...
It is very frustrating. Because that was what I was doing all last week.
Nice.
Well, that kind of brings me to this next question then. I know Daryl quit healing in Warlords because there's a few reasons, I think, but what keeps you involved in, you know, what, you know, we've gone through Mists, we've gone through Warlords, we've gone through Legion, and now here we are with BFA, and you're like a rock star for healers out there. What kind of brings you back to it, and what do you think maybe would pique someone's interest who has been turned away from it in the past?
I think the big thing that kind of keeps me coming back to healing is just the variety that you can kind of bring to the table, especially as they continue to experiment and adjust how they present encounters to us. You know, you're always going to be responding differently to raid encounters. Like Antorus, for example, had a much more varied levels of damage than you saw out of like Tomb of Sargeras, where everything is a soak and, you know, over half of the things are just large bursts you have to prepare for, right? There's a lot more variety. There were some phases of big dot damage, high mobility. You had to really adjust going forward. And I think that's always something that I really enjoy being able to do. Battle for Azeroth isn't seeking to like change the wheel, both in like the systems in terms of like Azerite power, things like that, but also in terms of healing, where they're kind of gutting out a lot of the things that people were dissatisfied with, or a lot of the things that were more broken even. And they're looking for, okay, how can we make this more balanced? How can we make this something that's going to be a lot more desirable to people to get into? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So then, if it's along the same lines, though, if people enjoyed healing, though, in Legion, are they still going to enjoy it in BFA? Is there enough the same that it's going to, you know, still be enjoyable? Like, I know, like Rob mentioned, I quit in Warlords. And, yeah, that was due to a few reasons. Number one, I recruited too many healers, and they were better than I was, so there was no point in healing. Elemental Blast, as being part of the Shaman rotation, just kind of threw me for a loop. I don't know. It was that I had to DPS to be an effective healer, I thought was bad design for the Shaman anyway. So I didn't really heal in Legion at all. But for other people that were, are they still going to enjoy it, you think, in Azeroth, Battle for Azeroth?
Probably more so. Each expansion kind of goes into a sort of situation where you are just fighting to snipe and get your healing off and work on like as harsh of timing windows as possible, rather than just simply working on your fundamentals or working with the rest of your team. So the beginning of every expansion is always a great point to be able to play and get into, because you're forced to be working together. You're forced to, you know, play as efficiently as possible because you don't have the mana to spend. Your heals don't do enough to be able to kind of fight and kind of elbow each other out of the way on stuff. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's going to continue to get better. I mean, we saw, for example, in like Mist of Pandaria, the expansion ended with Disciplined Priest being able to put out absorbs onto the most damaged targets with ease. They were able to just dump damage into the boss. The free patch involved them spamming Holy Nova and getting up crazy absorbs. Warlords ended with, you know, very high absorption effects, very high burst damage going out. You know, and you're starting to see Legion, like, and one of the best ways to see it and see how well they've been able to counter power creep for healers is how often are you seeing like encounters being solo healed, duo healed, and how consistently can people pull it off? Because we saw tons of times in previous expansions, even a lot of times in Tomb of Sargeras, where you know you're able to solo heal fights, you're able to two heal fights instead of four heal fights, and they've done a fairly good job being able to mitigate it. I know we had like a couple Dispriests solo Mythic Argus, but it wasn't solely on like the impact of like they just do a lot of healing. It was, you know, more of a group effort on that kind of stuff. So I think they've done a better job, and it's just kind of like a step by step process of continuing to kind of dampen down the power creep that healers are going to go into. And while it feels kind of crappy having like lower secondaries, for example, I think that it will help long term in making sure that healers don't get too insane.
I know when you're raiding at that level too, though, the healers are working together, but like everybody is just on point, right? Like the DPS most likely isn't doing something stupid. And we always make jokes about how we create our own hard modes, because we'll take something easy and we just can't do it anymore because like we're just making it so hard on ourselves. So it's nice that that I feel like the balance is there, like you mentioned, that you know you could bring whatever class you want and push it that way. Would you say that the systems that are in place for Battle for Azeroth make it a little more alt friendly than Legion was?
Oh, but like exponentially. It's actually insane. I'm very excited for it, because being able to learn other healers, being able to play around with other healer specs and gain a better understanding of like what makes them, what do they struggle with, what are they powerful with, you know, helps you become a better healer on your main, right? And just the opportunity to be able to not grind my eyes out for one character at the start of expansion and be able to actually have some variety there early on, and be able to multi-spec feels really good. You know, I mean, when you're everyone was basically locked into either Holy or Discipline at the start of the expansion, unless they had insane amount of time on their hands to be able to farm up both artifact weapons up.
So, does the Azerite armor, am I Am I reading way too much into that? Is it not going to hurt as much as I think in terms of like swapping specs or, you know, being a, you know, you want to DPS this fight and heal another one? Or
I don't think it's gonna be that big of a deal. I mean, it starts off at like 5 gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a decay system. So if you don't use it for like 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. it drops in cost. So yeah, I don't think it's gonna be too bad. I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, you're on personal loot. So mm-hmm. if you get an Azerite piece that's 5 eye levels higher than when the one you have right now, but has the exact same traits on it, well, you mm-hmm. can't trade it. So you might as well actually just keep all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can actually say, oh, this is my DPS one. This is my healer one, whatever.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I tend to play a lot of alts, so that stuff is important to me, and I want to be able to feel like I can not be punished for, you know, you get through a raid tier and you go, oh man, like this just doesn't feel right. I don't like this, you know. I was a Demon Hunter tank for Emerald Nightmare up into a little bit of Nighthold, and it felt like, okay, I'm going DPS now, and I am now a tier and a half behind everybody trying to catch up on artifact power and, you know, all this stuff. And even if switching to a whole nother tune completely, you know, some of those catch up mechanisms don't really come in until later in the expansion. So it's kind of, it's not punishing, but it's a little rough to try to bring an alt up to speed. So it feels good to see that. I think there's going to be a little more options if you want to swap tunes or just try something different, try a new spec, just try something different out. So.
Oh, definitely. And not being set so far behind with like legendaries, for example, in case you want to reroll or something like that, right? God.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jeez,
it goes a long way.
I know. So it was really funny. I heard a couple of people saying that you know, trying to play through in-game beta stuff on for Battle for Azeroth, like it feels like the systems there with emissaries or daily quests or world quests, whatever it is, it doesn't feel right now because you're not chasing a legendary anymore. But it's also like a massive relief because you're not like going, oh, I have to have this one, and if I don't get it, I'm married to this thing, and I'm, you know, sitting here trying to grind it out. So I don't know. I'm glad to see it go, I would say, for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, they experimented with it, and I know a lot of people, for example, early on were like, oh my god, this isn't going to be good, this is XYZ, and like, they kind of got to the point where they said, well, we're hard committed to this, so let's see where we could take this.
Right.
And if it's bad, you know, that's what the next expansion's for. So, yeah, I think, hey, they tried it. I'm glad that they're not going to try it again, and hopefully they came away with some good stuff for it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some good, there's some bad to it, but I think the best thing is definitely to remove it, so...
Can you talk a little bit about the differences, you know, Mythic Plus healing versus raid healing and the differences we're going to see in the upcoming expansion in relation to those?
I think M Plus healing is basically healing as much as you absolutely have to. Well, a lot of times what you'll be going into, especially with playing Disc, is looking at, you know, where are the big points of damage that you actually need to counter? What are the affixes that you need to be able to reverse and deal with? And then after that, how much damage can you pump out in the meantime, right? Raid healing, I think, is going to be not too dissimilar than what we've seen in Legion. I mean, you're basically going to be, you know, breaking down all the big damage components of the encounter. And a lot of times, for all the other guilds, all the guilds I've been in, it usually follows all right, let's just dive into it. Let's see where people start dying, and then we'll start applying raid cooldowns to those things, you know?
Okay.
The ongoing conversations that, you know, have to keep on happening to make sure people are doing all right.
Well, I know you've done some Mythic testing already. Do you feel like you've already started to develop some strats and you know, like, as a healer, like, all right, this, you know, at 3 minutes in, this mechanic happens, we definitely need to use cooldowns here. Is that the kind of stuff you're looking for when you're doing the raid testing? Or?
Yeah, a lot of times people will basically spend a couple of pulls going and just using their cooldowns whenever they feel like it. But then after that, we start breaking down, like, okay, where are we overlapping at and where are we dying? So the other day, for example, we did Mother. And like I said, on that point, you basically go through two different doorways. And if you reach the end doorway, she takes like 150% increased damage, like, mm-hmm. or 100% increased damage taken. So it's really easy to burn her down after that point. So the challenge is getting people across, pacing yourself, and then using raid cooldowns. And ideally, with the strategy that we were using, we wanted to make sure that we were able to get a fairly large group onto the other side, because once you switch to another side, it spawns little bloods that need to be tanked and killed quickly. Mm-hmm. So immediately off the bat, we were using like revival, and I think we were using like maybe spirit link or something like that. Make sure everybody's staying topped off, because once you pass through one area, you can't. You're actually line of sighted from the people on the other side of the room. So the healer that's there is the only one there to help you out.
Makes sense.
And it's just where we kind of started breaking down. Okay, what cooldowns are we aligning with? What movement going out, and how best can we make sure things are affected or affecting everybody? So, Luminous Barrier basically turns your powered barrier, which is 25% damage reduction if it's anybody standing in it, into a giant bubble for everybody. So that gave me an opportunity to like, oh, okay, maybe this might actually be helpful if we need to, or maybe I can, maybe it'll be better in damage reduction form, or maybe I'll need to use the other talents in that window instead.
What do you feel like the Azurite traits are a comparable replacement for having tier?
No.
No. Okay.
At least right now. Right now, a lot of the Azurite traits provide, you know, in the 5 to 10% range to like buffs to abilities that you're using anyway. Mm-hmm. And a grand majority of them you could just set and not have to track. And like there's one called Gift of Forgiveness, which is probably one of the best traits for Disc right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you have three atonements or at least three atonements out, the damage your smites increased by like 6 or 7% or something like that, right?
Okay.
And that's like, oh wow, that's a lot of damage you can add over time. And I'm always going to have at least three atonements out. But do I need to track this, or do I need to specifically like orient my playstyle for this? Not at all. You know, so I would like to see them kind of build it. And it's the first tier of the expansion, so they're not going to throw out the best in the business right at the start. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they get better over time.
You imagine they will, but I don't know. This is the first time since I've been playing the game that there has not been tier bonuses and set pieces.
I mean, I'm down for the experimentation. Down for the experimentation. If they want to try it out and see where it goes, then great. But I definitely think most people's mindset is they want to see, you know, a tier level or mini legendaries, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I liked the legendary style that they did in Pandaria and Warlords, where it was kind of a gradual thing that happened over the expansion, and if you put in the work, you got it. So, you know, everybody on our team got it because, you know, we kind of all were in the ride together. So I really wouldn't mind seeing something like that, you know, revisited again, something gradual that happens over time. But I don't know, I'm hesitant a little bit about missing the tier, but it also, I don't know, it kind of makes gearing feel less stressful, maybe. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. What do you think about that? Do you feel like it opens up gearing options? Will that push people maybe into more Mythic Plus? Or
I mean, you'll definitely feel good going into Mythic Plus, because you're not really going to be worrying too much about making sure that you have all the right tier slot type stuff, and you won't be able to get pieces from Mythic Plus.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to actually get Azurite pieces from Mythic Plus, for example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You won't be able to?
From the Mythic Plus dungeon, you cannot get Azurite pieces. You can get it from your Mythic Plus cache at the end of the week. You can get it from Mythic Zero dungeons, world bosses. But the most likely way people will get their Azurite pieces will be through raid.
Okay. What do you think is some of the best ways for gearing that we'll be looking at this expansion then?
Mythic Plus will be a huge part of it, without a doubt.
Yeah. We have one of our tanks who brought that up to us and kind of said, hey, you know, I feel like we would benefit from the more folks on the team going in and trying to do Mythic Plus stuff, because it really does help supplement the gear. And I think as a whole, we're on board with that. And I'm just kind of gauging, you know, if that's really what it looks like for Battle for Azeroth. I guess it doesn't matter if you're going to get an actual Azurite gear piece from it or not. You know, if you get it out of a cache or out of a raid, it really doesn't matter. An upgrade's an upgrade, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's going to be pushing more people to start forming up more regular teams to do Mythic Plus and to try to farm better mm-hmm. gear. And ideally, you get into a position where you're going to be able to get, you know, near full heroic gear, maybe go for some Warforges and such from Mythic Plus as you're going to be going into raids.
Yeah, that'll be nice. You know, for there's always one or two people that it seems like the drops just don't go their way. Are you feeling the personal loot changes?
Somewhat. I don't think so far. I mean, we've really just been seeing it for Mythic Plus, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't really too big of a deal because it's something we're already used to. But I think it will put a lot more pressure on healers, especially to farm more Mythic Plus and mm-hmm. get into Mythic Plus groups, because there's a lot of bad pieces that you don't want to wear, but will naturally come to you because they're high eye level. And holding on to those things is actually really valuable because that means you can trade, you know, valuable gear slots when you're actually in progression rating, you know?
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I think I heard someone mention doing that before as well. If you have a high item level piece that is a downgrade for you, actually just hold on to it so you can trade something later if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yep.
What are some concerns that you have that you've seen so far just in beta testing?
I'm sure a lot of people are going to talk about like bugs in dungeons, bugs in content, but that's beta. And that's what it's for. I mean, about everything we've encountered, we've, you know, worked on reporting, worked on, you know, sending in and trying to replicate to be able to make it easier to fix. So that's not too big of a deal. The hope is definitely going to be that like classes continue to grow over the course of the expansion, because even with tier sets that were largely passive, at least you felt the large difference whenever you put it on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in many cases, you were seeing classes change a little bit, or they would lean on other defensives or offensive abilities or become more powerful, some kind of augments over time. So I hope that Azerite definitely continues to build on it. It seems like it would. It's natural that it would, but I still feel the need to kind of talk about it anyway, mm-hmm. because we had seen in the QA recently where they're like, well, we're not sure if people want those big increases out of their gear and items and stuff like that with Azerite pieces. And I was like, I feel like most people do. I don't know.
Who exactly are you talking to?
Yeah. So I feel like that's going to be something that they really can drill down on and focus on. And I think it would be good if they started mixing in some kind of utility or like options between taking a utility cooldown or taking a throughput increase, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Choices, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not just in your talent tree, but, you know, in the way, you know, That's a little bit of what gearing allowed you to do. You could take a set bonus and that would lead you into a different talent choice. And then you would, like you said, whether you're going to be offensive or defensive.
Definitely.
Hey, so what do you think about the changes with Mythic Plus where you're not able to swap gear anymore while it's active?
Since Azerite isn't too crazy impactful, I don't think it's a huge deal for most gear slots.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do really see it being an issue with trinkets, especially mm-hmm. as they get more powerful. And like, mm-hmm. look at the end of Legion. You would actually have trinkets that were massively powerful for defensives or massively powerful for offensive. And the gap between those continues to widen over the course of any expansion. So
right.
I think not being able to switch up your trinkets is kind of painful because it makes it so that you always have to play for the worst part of the instance, the most dangerous part of the instance.
Right.
And that may not necessarily be the best thing, you know. It doesn't feel great because you're saying, oh, okay, well, even if I go farm up other legendaries, even if I actually try to take, even if I try to make other adjustments and stuff like that into gameplay, I really can't because I'm stuck, basically. I'm more or less stuck here with what I have on because I need it for the first boss. It's kind of like in Cathedral of Eternal Night. First boss deals a lot of tank damage. So, but as a result, the rest of the bosses aren't really too hard hitting. So you're running hyper defensive for the entirety of the instance just for one boss. And that doesn't really feel that good. So we'll see if that works out the same way in BFA, but specifically for the instances, but we'll see.
I just hope that there's a willingness to adjust. You know, players have no choice but to roll with it, right? But I kind of hope there's a willingness to adjust then on the developer's side to say, like, you know, we get a tier in and we go, you know what, this doesn't look that good. Maybe we can roll that back, you know, allow people to swap gear out of combat or, you know, whatever that looks like. I kind of think that some of the stuff that it's fine, we want to take that direction, but maybe be willing to adjust down the road if it's not looking so good.
Yeah, here's open. And I think that's something that, you know, the more that I think it's kind of died down the hype or the concern or whatever you want to call it about being able to gear swap from where it was. But if it starts becoming that Azerite's more impactful and it starts being more punishing, where you're saying like, oh, okay, certain classes are going to have to compete with others to see which one's going to spec into AOE, which one's going to spec in a single target, and you have, you know, these anti-synergies maybe that are coming about, you know, I think that's where you might see the rekindling of that conversation.
I see someone in your chat here asking if we're Harper Tempest is asking if we're getting legendaries in BFA, and I don't think we know right now. I don't think there's a plan for it. Like I was saying, I would hope for maybe something along the lines of Warlords or Mists, where it's something that you can work towards or lead up to. But I don't think right now there's any plan for it, especially after the way the Legion went.
Yeah. I mean, I think people would be fine with a break from legendaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or would you ever see them going back to like maybe the class specific? Like, okay, this is or this tier, shaman will get one, you know, or you know, like they did for a while, or casters, or you know, whatever it was. But
I don't really like that because in order for that to work, that class had to be ridiculously overpowered, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like the rogue one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, in order for any legendary to feel good, you have to be better than everybody else once you get it. If it's only for your class or it's only for your role, like, they have to be OP. So, I don't think it's great. I don't think it's really great for the game. And especially because they want to be more accessible, or Blizzard wants to make sure they're including everybody in on the game instead of just, like, check out this game. And if you put in significantly more time than everybody else, you know, then you get this thing that nobody else has, right? They've really been moving away from that super hard. So
that brings me to a question that, or kind of a topic that we've talked about for a long time, and the attitude or the philosophy was always bring the player, not the class, and it really seems to have turned into with Battle for Azeroth, it's just turned into a lot more of bring the class and not the player. What are your thoughts on that?
The weird thing with Mythic Rating is, I mean, from the beginning, they already stipulated that they wanted to make sure that it was going to be something where the Mythic Rating Guild was expected to have all of the classes represented in case there were specific mechanics, right? In case there were specific mechanics where you'd need to have a priest or need to have a shaman, whatever, right? I think those things definitely can be in conflict with each other at times, but I think that in the best case, they have to make situations where you need specific classes. They need to make encounters that have variance in them. Because if you focus too hard on bring the player out the class, then all the boss fights are going to be more or less homogenized and won't give you room to make some like exceedingly difficult content that is only made easier by having specific classes. It also doesn't make you feel really special if your class doesn't really have a big place compared to, oh my god, I have a really important role in this fight with my class. That feels awesome. Oh, we killed this awesome end boss because I was playing my role.
Yeah. See, I'm struggling with that a little bit right now because there's only a handful of classes that are having the raid or party wide buffs or you know a passive debuff, and I'm having a hard time with that because it's so, you know, it's only limited to like half a dozen different classes, and I don't think right now on our roster we have all of those covered. And no, I think I for a casual team, it should be fine, but for those of us who really do want to cover our bases and make sure that we're contributing everything we can, all of a sudden, you know, when choosing a main, I'm going, wait a minute, we don't have this, and I don't really want to play this, but, you know, a 10% stamina increase across the entire group is a pretty big deal, you know, so I don't, it seems a little weird to say, like, you are being punished a bit if you don't bring a hub monk or a demon hunter or a, you know, a priest or whatever it is, right? So I don't understand why those are so specific, I guess.
Yeah, I think Well, I'm not too concerned about the buffs, like Priest, for example, which can be replaced by a scroll. Arcane Intellect can be replaced by a scroll. I do think the debuffs, for example, it guarantees you're going to have a Demon Hunter and a Brewmaster all the time, no matter what. I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing, you know, because at least with like Priest scroll, for example, Priest buff gives you 10% stamina, whereas the scroll gives you 7%. Is 3% HP a wide gap? Not really.
I didn't realize there were scrolls.
I didn't either.
Is that an inscription thing? Or?
Yeah, it's an inscription thing. So,
okay, all right.
Not a big deal for the casters, it's going to be a big deal for those for the monk and for the demon hunter, right?
Right.
Every single raid must have monk demon hunter, you know. And in an environment that is crowded by melee, like I don't know what the best tanks are going to be for raids, but if basically Monk and Demon Hunter are not great tanks for raids, then you're slotting in bringing a DPS Demon Hunter and a Windwalker or a Mistweaver to apply those debuffs.
Right.
And their main appeal is that they bring a debuff, not that they're a great player, right? Because you only have one priest, they're just up all the time. The fact that you could replace them with a scroll means your team's not going to get screwed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. I feel a little bit better.
There you go. I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. I gotcha.
I didn't know about the scroll thing. So that's helpful. I still find it frustrating, you know, that is the warrior attack power?
I think so.
Activatable ones, there's going to be a scroll equivalent then?
I'm pretty sure. It would make sense, right? Because I know the Arcane Intellect has a scroll. I know the Stamina has a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that makes me feel a little better, because I don't think, this will probably bum you out a little bit, Jack, but I don't think we have a priest currently on the books or on the roster coming up. But yeah, our dude that was Disc Priest for Legion was an absolute rock star, but I think he just is kind of ready to get back to something, like he wanted to go back to playing some DPS. So I don't know. I'm just messing with myself. It's still like, I don't know why it's so hard for me to pick something. I've got it nailed down to a pretty handful of classes. And really, until it goes live and I start leveling and I just go, one of them just clicks and I go, yes, this is the one. I think that's what's going to happen. Why don't we dig into a little bit of ranking? I know you've put out a couple of videos recently talking about the state of all the different classes and kind of ranking them for Mythic Plus and for rating. Let's start with Mythic Plus and why don't you run down your ranking from worst to best of where you feel like the different healing classes fit in?
Probably worst. Well, I'll preface this by saying that healing and Mythic Plus has gotten quite a bit closer together.
Okay.
They've made a lot of strides in making sure that some of the big areas big reasons that you would bring specific healers, like survivability, like other utility tools, have been kind of brought down to earth. And what that means is like Druid Bear Form gives you less stamina now than it did before.
Okay.
Paladin loses out on its 15% additional HP that it had baseline in Legion, loses out on a couple small defensive tools. Armor in general has been nerfed, so there's a narrower difference between wearing like mail and plate and wearing cloth and leather. The physical damage reduction of all of those got brought down and kind of squished down a little bit. So you're not having it where like Paladin has like two and a half times the physical damage reduction that a priest does, just because, you know.
Gotcha. But and this is all like, you know, disclaimer, this is all just opinion pieces.
Yeah. Of course. Probably worst though would be Holy Priest. They didn't really They didn't really get enough tools to kind of get like facelift them from where they're at. And in fact they kind of gave away some of their tools in Holy Nova to Discipline. So their mass AoE tool, they share with Discipline. Their external cooldown in Guardian Spirit is okay, but it's definitely near the bottom end of the tier in terms of the value that you get out of it. Being able to take like Guardian Angel, for example, makes it pretty good in terms of lowering the cooldown to 60 seconds or about 75 seconds or something like that. And the adjustments to Apotheosis, which is basically a large healing cooldown that helps you use your Holy Words more often. getting that reduced from a 3-minute cooldown to a 2-minute cooldown, and then adjusting the duration to compensate is a really nice buff. But I don't think it does quite enough to both improve the damage, improve the survivability, and the overall utility for the rest of your team. The damage that Holy Priest brings to the table is pretty negligible compared to Discipline as well. And when you're competing directly with another spec, I think that also shines kind of like a further light on what's going on there. So Discipline would probably be the bottom of the list for me.
Holy?
Holy would be the bottom list. Holy would be the bottom list. This one's like the top of the list. So
All right, so we got Holy at the bottom. Then what's next?
Probably like this is kind of like the average tier. Mm-hmm. I think the average to like pretty good healers would probably be like Shaman, where they have some really good tools and they're like just there. They have almost everything that they need to be able to bring to the table. They've got kicks, they've got stuns, they've got slows, they have Earth Elemental. So many good things that they bring to the table. Missing out on the external, like I wish Earth Shield was a little bit better, specifically for Mythic Plus, bring some kind of damage reduction to the table, things like that.
Tremor Totem's back though.
Tremor Totem's great. Like, and that's the thing is they bring a lot of really cool things, but
yeah,
there's also other DPS that can bring those things, and what those DPSers can't bring is a good external for the tank, right? Shaman's healing it's also pretty heavily. I think a very large amount of the healing can be tied into Healing Rain, which can really hurt you if you get into any spread kind of encounters, highly mobile bosses, things like that. So I think they're good, but they certainly got better. I think competing with all the other healers, but I don't think that they're quite in that top tier.
Okay,
the pretty good level I would say is like Mistweaver and Druid. Druid got nerfed in almost every way possible from Legion of VFA. For example, having Germinate, that sounds horrifying, right? But like the level that they were at was extremely powerful.
Should have just deleted them then, hey?
Nah. Like, you know, bringing down like the legendaries, for example, like not having access to legendaries is a big blow. Bringing down survivability with bear form is a blow to them as well. Having Germination Flourish competing. And there's a number of different things. But with that being said, I don't think that they're bad healers at all. In fact, that they're probably going to be at like the top level. They'll probably be back at like that top level maybe by the end of old tier. Maybe once people start getting some really good big gear. It might even just be once people start actually like competitively pushing M+ when progression's over. Yeah. But right now, I think they're at like a pretty good level. If you need that extra survivability, you have good timing on hopping into bear form, it's not going to matter, for example, that frenzy regens on the GCV or that you're not getting two charges of frenzy regen or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You're
okay.
Preparing well for it, you'll be able to deal with it. You'll be able to respond, no problem. But yeah, they definitely did lose some tools here and there along the way. I think they're at a pretty close level to Mistweaver. Mistweaver got some buffs to Cocoon, but Cocoon's still a poor cooldown. It just doesn't quite do enough. One of the biggest strengths of Mistweaver is that they can basically dump their entire mana bar into the tank whenever they need to. So their focused healing is extremely strong, which goes a long way for them. Like I said, both them and Druid, I think, are at a close level. But what I don't think Mistweaver has tons of is damage. It seems like the damage has been like average at best and not quite able to go up as high or as crazy as we've seen out of the top two healers in my mind, which is like Paladin and Dispriest.
Okay.
So Paladin, I think, is probably going to be the top. I don't think they lost terribly much going into BFA. You know, they still have extremely high defensives. They still have insane utility. They still have insane utility with Blessing of Protection and Blessing of Sacrifice, being able to actually bubble themselves. Strong defensives across the board. Having a variety, like having probably the best and most diverse talent tree to be able to augment their abilities. Things like Virtue. Option between Avenging Crusader and Sanctified Wrath, which basically changes your wings. So you can either pop wings, and as you're doing damage, you're doing healing, or you can go with a longer duration of wings, which would be higher DPS. Overall, they still have that strong package, and Virtue's ability to quickly pump up everybody's health pool has always been an incredibly powerful tool for them in M+, and that without that being changed significantly, that's just kind of going to kind of continue for them. Disc, I think, has stepped it up and probably gained the most for Mythic Plus specifically. They've altered basically the 75 tier to make it a lot easier for them to choose a talent that'll be very favorable for them. Having a talent like Sins of the Many, which increases your damage by up to 12%, but is reduced by 1% per atonement you have out, is a great way to be able to just min-max your damage super hard. Going into specific dungeons, or even, you know, with Lust on the pull, you could spend the first, you know, 30, 40 seconds of the encounter going as hard as possible, trying not to heal anybody, and getting that full value damage buff. That's always excellent. So, in my mind, they've gained a lot of tools, but I think they still have... I think they're also very polarizing, where I think Disc can really struggle. I think they can really struggle with Grievous and Bursting, and they have to push their group to play specific ways to actually adjust. So if you're going to deal with Bursting, you have to keep on finding something for the Disc Priest to hit, because their healing outside of Atonement is almost entirely single target based. So deal with mass AoE effect, you need to keep on finding things to hit. So it can be played around, but the fact that you're making the group play much differently can kind of make them kind of polarizing and maybe less desirable on specific affix weeks. And they're pretty sensitive to, and that's something they're pretty sensitive to. Explosive, I don't think this priest's handle very well. They can use some abilities with pretty hefty cooldowns of 9 or 10 seconds to be able to clear out one explosive. But then you have something like Paladin, which has multiple abilities that can all one-shot the explosive orbs. You know DPS doesn't want to have to deal with it, though it falls on the healer a lot of times.
Of course, yeah.
And since Disc Priest heals by doing damage, if you have part of your ability clipped off, like a penance, by hitting the orb and you only get half of a penance, or you only get two out of the three ticks, that also really hurts your healing too.
You left off one completely. I'm a little surprised.
Oh, did I? I'm trying to think now.
So where would you put Blood DK on your... Because anytime we have one, they're always in like the top three healers.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's their medic, you know?
That's funny.
Okay, so before we get into before we do the raid healer ranking, I did see a question pop through here, and I'm sorry I didn't see who it was. Someone in your chat was asking, are there any the global cooldown changes, have those impacted healers or any particular healer very much?
Probably impacted Paladin the most with
with hands and all that.
With making it harder to have like wings and like Holy Avenger used together. It's like stacking cooldowns to like pump as much damage as you can on the pole going forward. So I think it has made them a little bit heavier, but for most healers, it hasn't been a big deal. Like, Discipline has to deal with Rapture on the global cooldown. It's an annoyance, but it just makes you actually have to plan a little bit earlier.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's jump into the raid rankings. Then, same as before, we'll start off with worst to best.
The problem with raid rankings is you're always going to rank four healers, or in some cases five healers, right? And just because something's rated the best doesn't mean you're just going to stack that because that's right on the list.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and like with the Disc Priest, you can't really stack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, any of them, really. Any of the healers will just... You want to always have diversity with your healer core, no matter what. So it would feel weird to be, like, giving a hard ranking of those because it's... Oh, you're bringing a fourth or fifth placed healer? What? And it's just like, well, you want to actually have variety. So... I think what's going to happen is
trying to compensate for each other then, right?
Yeah. I mean, people fill in each other's blanks. So I think what you will see is the standard Pally Shaman. I think Disc Priest might be a mainstay in a lot of progression. Okay. Then after that, I don't think it's going to matter too terribly much. Yeah. Between Mistweaver, Rest of Druid, and Holy Priest, Mistweaver and Rest of Druid have good enough or really good mobility. If you ever get into those mobile fights that are required, of the three that fill up that fourth slot, Rest of Druid definitely has the best tank external. Holy Priest probably competes with Rest of Druid in terms of raid cooldown potential, because Holy Priest will have Holy Word Salvation in a talent, which is massive, versus maybe 2 minute shrink.
Oh yeah, and you talked about the mana cooldown too, the old school. What was it? Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff will probably go. We'll probably start competing with each other, but I think in that four slot, you might as well just focus on. You might as well just be focusing on whoever's going to be understanding the mechanics best at the table. You know, whoever's going to be doing the most, because you're not going to be needing every single member of your raid to be chocked full of utility 24/7. You know.
Gotcha. Well, I accept that as an answer, especially in an environment where you are bringing multiple healers and you do need to kind of complement each other. So, Hey, Daryl, do you have any other questions before we start to wrap things up?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Awesome, Jack. What are some things that you're really really looking forward to going into BFA?
Oh, definitely the raids. I mean, it's been nice that Antorus hasn't been too terribly long of an expand of a raid tier, but definitely been a really long time since progression raiding has happened. So I'm looking forward to getting back on that again.
Yeah, it's nice. I remember there was a couple that was like, you know, 15 months, 18 months, or more, you know, of the same.
Yeah,
the
same 14 months as Eudora Romero.
That's crazy.
Yikes. You know, where you're bringing alts, and then your alts have their four-piece tier, and then you're bringing another alt, and then you're trying out a whole different role completely, and
yeah.
You know, healers are tanking, and tanks are healing, and yeah, so, yeah, it gets a little crazy there, but. Alright then, well if you haven't already, make sure to come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server over at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests you've heard here on the show tonight, like Automatic Jack. That is discord.me/TTD. And since we have fired up the live stream for our shows now, please head on over to twitch.tv/thetrainingdummies and give us a follow so you know when we light that stream up.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got?
Oh, definitely Automatic Jack. Thanks, man. I know we kind of went back and forth to get this thing scheduled, so I really, really appreciate you making some time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Had a lot of fun.
Daryl, you, as always, coming up with that super awesome, putting that bumper together, the We Didn't Start the Fire bumper.
Well, it was your idea.
Burn it, so. Man. Burn it. Yeah, everybody in the chat, everybody in Automatic Jack's chat for just being patient and letting us borrow your boy for a little bit so we can come and talk about what to expect from healing and battle for Azeroth. Daryl, how about you, man? What do you got?
I want to give a shout out to Jack. This was great preview of what we can expect on healers coming up in the expansion. Rob, yeah, for setting this one up, and as well the, you know, a similar one to this was the tank one. These are both great previews you know, people that want to fill those critical roles on the raid teams and, you know, even the dungeon teams is the tank and the healer. So, great for setting those up. And I want to give a shout out to, on Twitter, he's watched me play live. He just out of the blue this week sent me a DM saying he saw me, posting about working out and doing my running on Instagram and, Twitter. And that has inspired him to start working out again himself. So, big shout out to him. That was awesome. It was totally unexpected. So it felt really good to hear that. Jack, do you have any shout outs this evening?
If you guys want to find me, all places at Automatic Jack on Twitch, Twitter, all that other good stuff. Just going to be knocking out some more Beta M Plus after this on stream.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 216 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TrainingDummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust. From people you shouldn't.
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
Patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?